T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is AJ and Dusty.
All right, listen up. I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
With AJ McCord.
That beer's getting better, I admit that. But you're still weak on the left side.
And Dusty Hera.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard spotted underwear, bikini style, sir.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
What kind of power?
Good afternoon, happy Friday to ya, the 11th of June, 2021, Dusty Hera, AJ McCord.
What is up?
Scraggalagin.
Not much, happy Friday, happy rainy Friday.
Rain's good,
need
the rain.
Love the rain. What kind of rain is this, rain. Given that we categorize our rain here in Oregon?
You know what? I haven't looked outside. It's kind of a drizzle right now.
Yeah, it's like a heavier drizzle.
It was legit rain.
Yes.
Earlier today.
I would co-sign on that.
I'm all right with that. Hey, this is one of the weird things, though. It can be super spotty just around the Portland metro area. Because it was pouring down at my house, and as I was driving, there seemed like there were spots that were barely getting any rain, and then back down here, we got a little bit of drizzle going on.
It's called sucker holes.
Excuse me?
You never heard of that?
No.
Yeah. That's when there's like
sucker
this
holes,
one
huh?
patch of sunlight, and you're like, oh, look at that. It's going to get nicer.
Sucker.
Fooled ya. Then more rain.
Sucker.
Yep. That's what I've heard them called.
How's this rain supposed to affect my golf this weekend? Because I stumbled into something that pretty fantastic. I'm golfing tomorrow with some buddies, and my wife goes, oh, you're golfing Sunday and Friday too? And I was like, yes. She accidentally put it in the calendar Friday through Sunday, golfing all 3 days, and it's raining right now. I'm like, I'm not obviously going to take up on this. But on Sunday, are we supposed to get a little bit of sunshine, or do I need to cancel this whole stumbled into a free weekend full of golf?
Are you saying into a free weekend because your wife got the wrong
the
calendar?
If it's on the calendar, it's on the calendar.
Oh,
I will
my
take
gosh.
That on the calendar.
Unfortunately, I think you're in a world of hurt.
Damn.
Because Sunday's supposed to get the most rain.
All right. Well, then guess what I'm going to do?
That's the universe telling you that you shouldn't have played.
I'm going to go ahead and send this text right now.
Yep.
Good news, honey. Going to cancel.
Wow. So wait a minute. So she makes a mistake.
Yeah, there's
and
no
instead
way she'll
of
ever
correcting
hear about it,
her
yeah.
and being like, no, babe, yeah. here are the days that I'm actually free.
Yeah.
You were just going to let it go.
Oh, she saw right through me.
And now you're
but
going to act like you're being so generous.
No, here's the thing, and here's how the calendar works. If it goes on the calendar, it's on the calendar, and everything else has been planned around that. So this mistake, not on me. Hey, I didn't put it on the calendar.
I mean, you could have corrected the mistake.
But all the plans have already been made surrounding the calendar.
Oh, and it would just really throw things off if she had an extra pair of hands around to help with the kiddos.
No, because the calendar's been set.
Right.
Around that already being on the calendar.
No, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that it would really ruin her day.
Well, I know. That's why I come in over the top now knowing that it's supposed to rain a lot on Sunday and say, hey, look, I'll be home.
You are manipulating this situation very drastically. Yeah. I hope you're listening, Lindsay.
There's absolutely no way that she'd ever find out that this is what is happening right now.
I'll text her right now, too. How about that?
Couldn't she just conceivably put something in the middle of whatever's in the calendar to counteract what you're doing?
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Because you're not going to memorize it.
Double book it?
Yeah, either that or just pick two weekends from now to then slide something in and not tell you. And then you'll just figure, well, no, she'll mention, she'll say, hey, remember we talked about this.
Yeah.
You guys never talked about it, but now you're freaking out. And you go, right. I remember. Okay, sure.
Yeah. See, this is where.
That's what my wife does.
This is where I don't know what the hell the calendar says. She could do that. She probably does do that a lot. And I'm like, all right.
Where is your calendar? Is it on your phone?
It's on her phone.
You don't have a shared calendar?
And there's a calendar on the refrigerator because that's what happens these days.
Where do you keep your calendar? Do you and your wife have a calendar?
Yeah, it's a big old, you know, the big old ones that go on the table that are nice and flat out. Yeah, we got one of those. You just kind of write little notes in there.
Very nice.
Yep.
We just put a shared iPhone calendar.
Yep.
That way we can know when everyone has trips or commitments, whatever.
Again, I operate under the ignorance is bliss side of things, and I just go, yeah, whatever. But once it's on the calendar, it's in the calendar. So I was going to take advantage of it, no longer will.
That's so sweet of you.
I know.
That's so kind.
Yep. Father's Day right around the corner. You know?
Oh, I see.
That dad of the year. I'm going to get that mug. Damn right.
When is Father's Day?
A week from Sunday.
Okay.
Shoot, already?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
What are you going to get Robert something?
Well, no, but I'd like to get my dad.
Oh, is that breaking
something?
News?
Oh.
No. Oh, okay. Dad's. Okay. Sorry.
Jeez, don't start rumors like that,
yeah,
Will.
What the heck?
Sorry. Jeez.
Wow.
No.
Well, he technically is a dad of Scarlett. Yeah.
That's true.
I get Father's Day gifts for my cats.
Father's Day gifts
from my cats. Yeah.
From your cat.
That's right.
I'm not even going to touch this.
Bad boys.
10-foot pole.
Why?
Speaking of cats.
It's awesome.
I sent you guys a video.
Mm-hmm.
They got further investigating.
They got me compression shorts last year.
The cat deck situation.
Yeah.
Saw a cat go after a rat on the security camera.
On your deck?
On my deck.
Was it your pet or was it your new pet cat?
I don't have pet cats.
Well, they live at your house under your deck.
I have stowaways is what I have.
All right. Well, are they there?
I didn't think this was the same cat as the one that was in the previous videos. So
there's a third cat itself.
Well,
coming from the grassy knoll? Do we got a JFK situation here?
Or is this a neighboring cat? Because it went from the fence to almost right where the mouse slash rat was.
Where did the rat come from?
The side of the deck that you can't see on the security camera.
Did it come from your home?
I don't know. I just said you can't see it on the security camera.
Okay.
It was running along the deck like 3 feet out from the home. Yeah. But here's the thing.
Okay. Now you have a cat and a rat problem.
But here's why I'm not as
convinced. You've got big issues going on here.
Okay. Somebody got to go.
It's going to be the rats and the cat.
No, all of them got to go.
All of them got to go. But here's the deal. So when we had the plumber out a few months ago to move the plumbing for the bathroom, right? And
as
he had to go
do.
Right, and so he had to go under the house. He's like, "Oh, great news! You don't have any rats."
Yes.
So that means they've moved in. If that's the case, sometime in the last like 2 months.
Tell you what. What if just spitballing here.
Uh-huh.
What if the Orkin man and your plumber have a nice little side deal going on where the Orkin man kicks him a couple hundred to put some rats under your house?
No.
He just planted the seed. Hey, you got nothing going on down there. And then boom, now all of a sudden, it's just coincidence.
No.
Just saying.
I believe in the goodness of
just saying.
Are you suggesting the Orkin man is running a racketeering operation?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not him. Maybe it's another pest control service. But did the plumber leave a business card in case anything happens? In case you ever do. Here.
No.
Or I got a guy.
No.
All right. Well,
have a rat guy.
I think you'd have a rat problem, though.
I know. Well,
thus the cats living under your deck and getting fed pretty well.
I know. I think I'm going to have to pull up the deck board this weekend.
Now, I might have some help for you, though.
Or I could go. Can I go into my crawl space?
Yeah.
And figure, like, Maybe I'll do that.
I mean, you'll be face to face with a cat and or rat, but in not knowing the friendliness of said cat or rat. So, I mean, do it at your own discretion. That's the thing. Just send Robert down there and just be like, you know what? I heard a noise.
Help.
I don't think you got to do any of that because I got some late breaking developments here.
Okay.
Oh.
TV's Matt Zaffino.
Oh.
DM'd.
Okay.
1080 The Fan.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Apparently he is a P1 of this show.
Yeah.
Because when he heard it, he said, guys, contact Feral Cats Oregon. They help with feral cats. Great organization.
But Feral Cats
Oregon. Do we know that they're... What is the definition of feral?
Living
wild?
Under somebody's deck that isn't their home.
That's what
home.
I'm asking. Just a wild cat?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a cat without a home. It's a homeless cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what happens when I call this organization? Are they going to kill the cats or are they going to take it to a no-kill shelter?
No. They take in the feral cats.
Okay.
After that,
I don't know. You just made that up.
Uh-huh. Well, they take them in. I'm leaving it at that. I don't know what happens.
It's not helping my conscience.
But here, video is up at 1080 The Fan on Twitter. That looks like that cat's coming from your home.
The cat or the rat?
The rat. Oh, the rat is coming from your home. The cat's coming from the fence.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go into the crawl space. I think that's the only logical.
Problems.
And I think maybe I'll take like fire extinguisher or something down there.
That's not going to help you.
In defense?
So you spray that and then what? You start choking?
What? Okay, so give me more ideas here.
I would say call pest control.
I would say live stream it. And as you start
live stream it,
be like,
yell
hey,
world
guys.
Star. Yell world star and make sure that you plug the show. So if it goes viral, we get a little bump there.
Hey, guys, it's me, AJ. Ugh. Just in my crawl space looking for cats.
Yeah.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. And if you want to try other videos about redoing a kitchen.
Oh, we're not touching the kitchen.
Make sure to follow the link below. Mm. You know, when I go down in a crawl space, I get sweaty. That's why I use this deodorant.
Wow.
See, that's your whole setup. That's
now
your
game. Now I'm making money off of this.
See, you could become an influencer from this if you just live stream yourself going into your crawl space to go remove feral cats.
But also, things could go terribly wrong.
Well, hold on. But now there's like a TikTok stars, the bee lady, the Texas bee lady.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen her?
Yes, I have. She's a magician.
You could be the rat lady.
I do not want to be the rat lady. I don't want to be the rat lady.
AJ Rats McCord.
No.
Okay.
No. We are hard passing on this.
How much, because, you know, these social media influencers, they can make a lot of money. How much money would it take for AJ to be the rat lady?
Oh, not like, enough in the world.
There's really good stuff.
I can't.
If you were raking in like 20K a month.
To do what?
To be the rat. Like,
what does that mean?
On TikTok. I don't know. Go into a crawl space and flush out some rats. I don't know. Whatever. With like the bee lady. She just goes to places and like puts bees on her hand. It's like, look, they're so sweet. And everybody's waiting for the crash to happen. They're waiting for the stings and the bites to happen. And it never happens. But how much would it give for AJ McCord to be known as the rat lady?
Ugh.
What are we talking?
AJ Rats McCord.
Come on.
Oh, I need to think about that. That's awful. They have diseases.
Yeah.
They can bite.
Mm-hmm.
And just
think, one of them ran out of your house last night.
And so many places that rats enjoy, snakes also enjoy. Dark, cold spaces.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm inadvertently signing up to face my worst fear over and over and over again. That is not a cheap price tag.
You can get a tattoo of a rat version of Philip Rivers tearing his ACL. It's not Philip Rivers. It's a rat dressed as Philip Rivers tearing its ACL.
This conversation is derailed. You guys are not helping.
My leg!
Not helping. Your hate
for snakes, though, like snakes eat rats, you know?
And mice and stuff. I know.
You could be the person that, like, you could also eradicate snakes from areas, too, by taking away their food source.
Yes!
You'd be doing a great thing for the world.
But I have to get near a snake.
And be called the rat lady.
I think I'll call all pest right. control.
And then you could interweave it into your segments
I think
on
I'll
coin.
Call pest control. Mm-hmm.
You could be like, hey, the pest of the week.
Thanks for the info, hey. Matt. I think I'll call pest control.
I mean, I recommended that the other day, and look, nothing's coming down the pipeline here. Here's one that says large snakes take care of both cat and rat problems.
Again, but then I have to have a large
look,
snake.
Look, yeah, nobody wants to be a snake person, though.
Nope. I don't, certainly. I'm sure there's some people who do, but it's not me.
I think for $20K a month, I would be the... I could be seen as, like... I think I could put my fear of snakes aside to be the snake guy on social media.
I don't know.
You could do it.
You see the terror in my eyes.
Uh-huh.
It, like... I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were always up for a challenge.
All right.
So it's a good call.
All right.
You're not up for this or something?
Can we talk about sports instead? I feel attacked. I came here for support and I feel attacked.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't feel attacked right now.
He's taunting me.
Yeah.
In the NFL, this would be a flag.
No, I don't think it'd be a... No. No. This is some good old S talking, AJ.
Okay.
Just wait till he actually brings a snake in a la Chuck. Now, Chuck and what they did to Charles Barkley the other night, like that, now we're talking flags and fines and fisticuffs coming out.
Absolutely.
All right. now you want to get to sports?
I'd rather. Yes.
All right.
Because you guys were not super helpful.
About what? Now you have a third cat. You've got a triple cat problem and a rat problem.
Great.
And you just need to call the pest control guy.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Because the plumber may or may not have planted those
not
rats
bring
there.
My plumber into this. He did nothing wrong. My gosh.
That we know of.
Oh my gosh.
We got Michael Sean Dugar, The Athletic, up in Seattle. He's gonna join us about 12 minutes from now to talk Russell Wilson back. Nothing to see here.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
All good.
And how does this new offense that is being implemented up in Seattle, how's that going?
It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, we'll talk to him at 12:30. We have, is 35 the new 30?
Ah.
In our sports world.
Can we hope so?
Mm-hmm. That's next on Tiger Beat. But we also have our weekend Would You Rather and talk a lot of NBA playoffs, because do we have a series or did just we see a message being sent last night? This is Rat Lady and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey.
Worst.
AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At times, the fan text line can be a community of coming together, or it can be your own personal hell. And I think that's what it has become for AJ McCord right now with all this rat and cat talk.
And the snakes.
Yeah, professional exterminator says, exterminator here, all of these are terrible options, and then gave you the LOL.
Perfect. It's really great. And then I said, as the expert, what's your recommendation? The response, pray to God for the rats to go away.
Oh.
Great. This is my... Maybe, since there's those holes that they dug, maybe I just slip a trap under there. What about that option? Doesn't that help with rats?
Yeah, because there's usually only one.
Well, but... okay. Maybe I take the board up and like litter the underneath of the deck with multiple rat traps. Yeah,
and then your feral cats will step in them, and then you just have maimed or injured cats.
Underneath the deck, trapped.
See, this is why you have a big problem that you have.
Okay,
going on
I
here.
Get it. And what, have a big problem.
Hey, what could have fixed this whole problem yesterday? My initial recommendation, kill them all. Everything. Just burn, maybe
I'm
burn down
so
the house.
I'm so sorry that in the last, burn down the house. We just finished the bathroom.
I don't know.
Absolutely not.
Seems like a viable option now.
Does it?
Nope.
Dusty's country folk solution.
Gosh.
Flamethrower.
Get your house back. Get your dogs back. That's what happens when you play a country song backwards.
All right. Well, we're here for you.
Are you?
No.
Is that what we'd say?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Anyway, let's talk Bucks Nets because that was a fun game.
It was a great game. And we talk about the highest scoring offenses in the NBA and how, or and really looking at Brooklyn and how terrible they were. They were, what, 23rd in the NBA in defense. And whether it's the Boston series or now this series against Milwaukee, they have held the Bucks to 86 points in two games. Two of the three games, back-to-back games. They won one. And then they lose this one in the first one where the Bucks now make the series 2-1 in the Nets' favor with an 86-83 win.
I know. That was an impressive stand by the Bucks, especially late in that game. Middleton stepped up. He had 35. Antetokounmpo, 33. And that was huge because Middleton, remember, he was shooting a combined 13 of 43 in the first two games of the series. And yesterday we talked about, what does this prove? You cannot just have the two-time MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo. You have to have help in order to even compete against a super team like Brooklyn, who is down one of their big three, but Blake Griffin has reverted to all-star Blake Griffin.
When this is where you look at, it can't be this bad for Milwaukee all the way through, though, because their three-point shooting woes continued last night to where it wasn't pretty, but what they got bailed out with was the fact that whether it was Joe Harris, who went 1 of 7 from beyond the arc, or, you know, KD and Kyrie, who combined to go 5 of 16 from beyond the arc. It wasn't a great shooting night from three from Brooklyn. But if you look at what this Milwaukee team, which shoots 39% from three on the season, they're shooting 20% from beyond the arc. Yikes. It has been atrocious missing open shots. And give credit, though, to Brooklyn on their perimeter defense. They're doing a hell of a job of contesting shots as well.
They really were. But then you also have to give credit to the Bucks defense in those final 20 seconds or so. They made life challenging on the firepower that is the Brooklyn Nets and got the stop, got the win. I'm not convinced that this is going to last. I don't know if we'll have a series, but it was fun to see the Bucks win
at
home.
No, because what we saw was KD struggled in that first quarter, didn't really take many shots. And then when everybody else started clicking in that second half, then you saw him turn it on and he became a different player. One thing that I will say, and this has to go as part of this conversation, and they probably just deserves a larger conversation as a whole. Bruce Brown? Really? Like, down the stretch, and this is the confusing part to me, is like, Bruce Brown gets two of their final three looks, despite the fact Kevin Durant scored the team's final 9 points.
It's still on the court, by the way.
What's that?
He was on the court when Bruce Brown was taking his shots.
Yeah.
It's not like he just wasn't there all of a sudden.
Well, and you have in those final possessions there, you had the missed jumper, the floater through the lane that he missed, and then the inbounds where he bobbles the ball and him and Kyrie are like, bah! And you had a fire drill over on the sideline. Like, it was a disaster. I never in my wildest dreams thought Bruce Brown would be the person playing a pivotal role for the Nets down the stretch. But here we are. Here we are. 2021 is Bruce Brown show.
For better or for worse. And for the Nets, it was worse last night.
And that, to me, it signals Brooklyn, just as they did against Boston, they will have a game where it is, all right, let's see what we got here. And it won't be KD Karius. It won't be Kyrie Karius. When that matters for that team, put them on their back and watch them carry them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have more on that game because, boy, Giannis has got something going on that is pretty inexplicable right now. We'll also talk about pretty dang good that Utah Jazz ball club.
Yeah.
Pretty dang good.
But yes.
Coming up next, we got to head up north, up to Seattle. Michael Sean Dugar covers the Seahawks for The Athletic. He will join us. Russ, calling takebacks? Here's Will.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, minicamp's going on up in Seattle, and a lot going on as it's the return of Russell Wilson, so we're going to catch up with our friend from The Athletic, Michael Sean Dugar. You can find him on Twitter, at Mike Dugar. How you doing this Friday?
Doing all right. I mean, it's raining, so that kind of stinks, but I guess, that kills my day at the beach playing.
Welcome to the man. Northwest. All right, let's get to it. Russell Wilson back, and yesterday he tried his best to kind of stamp out all of the negativity that's been surrounding him and his future with the franchise this offseason. Does it seem that it's just business as usual back for the Seahawks again?
I'm not sure entirely, but I do think that was a masterful job by Russell Wilson yesterday, like not really making sense, but leaving us to make sense of it. Like, it was really good. I mean, he basically created a villain that wasn't any players or coaches or anybody else, like attacked the villain and then just kind of left it at that while being really vague. Because, the thing that came out of that, aside from his desire to win, is that he's like, I didn't request a trade. I was like, well, no one said you requested a trade. Really? I went back and read the language in our story, me, Sando, and Jason Jenks, because we kind of kicked this thing off. Our language is that his agent knew Russell was so frustrated that he broached potential trade destinations to the team. That's true.
Yeah.
He didn't actually formally request a trade. And I made the point when I wrote a story yesterday that if he had requested one, we'd have led with that.
Right.
So like that sentence is buried like middle of the story. If he'd have requested something, we'd have led with that. And even Schefter's tweet, I went back and read Schefter's tweet from like February. It's the same language. It's like, hey, we're not requesting a trade, but if y'all want, to get me out of here, here's where I'm willing to go. Now you can argue the semantics of it, but like Russ took that, like took like a straw man, honestly, and like attacked their trade request. And so we could focus on that. And in a way, he kind of just controlled the narrative. It was really brilliant on Russ's part, because now he did it. He spent 30 minutes asking about it, and now no one can reasonably bring it up again unless there's like something newsy that happens, and I don't think there will be.
So you mentioned it. It really was a good portion of the press conference yesterday was addressing that. One of the things that I thought was interesting in the questioning, and I'd love for you to sort of break down his answers for us, is the talk about, when he came out and said, I don't like getting hit. We have to be better up front. Everyone was like, oh no, like the linemen are going to be offended by that, right? But you guys asked him about his relationship in the locker room and what he feels like he needs to do, if he needs to do anything at all, to sort of smooth things over with the locker room. Where would you say he stands inside Seattle's clubhouse right now?
So I think I get why we asked. I forget who asked Russell that yesterday. Like, it's a very valid question. But Russell's not the person we should be asking. It's the lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we need to. Dwayne Brown hasn't been at OTA, so we can't really ask him in that setting. But yeah, if we get Gabe Jackson, well, actually, no, because he didn't block for him. So if we get Brandon Schell, We get Ethan Posick. We get Damian Lewis. Like, those are the guys that he offended in theory. And so we need to ask them how they felt. Like, I don't think – even if they all cussed him out in their little O-line Russell group chat, I don't think Russell would tell us on Zoom anyway. You know, so I think it's up to us asking those guys. And they might lie to us too. Who knows? But I think there's – you know, Russell wasn't the one who was offended.
Right.
So it's not really, like, his place to, you know, divulge whether people were offended and had something to say about it. So I would imagine, like, it's water under the bridge. Like, for the few people that I talked to on the team about this, the general thing that they were focused on was, is Russell Wilson going to be our quarterback this year? If the answer is yes, don't really care about the rest of the stuff. It's above my pay grade. I just want to win the championship, and I know number three gives us the best shot. Like, is that a little simplistic view on it? Sure, but they're right. That's not, if you're a running back, that's not your job to worry about Russ's relationship with Pete as long as he's under center and wants to win you guys a championship. So I do agree with Russell when he said, like, yeah, no, everything's good. And Bobby echoed that sentiment as well. But, like, ultimately, Bobby and Russ aren't really the guys that I think we should be asking those questions.
We're talking with Michael Sean Dugar. You can find him at Mike Dugar on Twitter. He covers the Seahawks for The Athletic. Now, outside of Russell Wilson in this kind of chaotic offseason, there's also a new offensive coordinator. How are things going with Shane Waldron installing the new offense, which if it is anything like L.A., it'll be a vast difference from what the Seahawks have been running with Russell Wilson and company up there?
Like, installs are very simple in the NFL. They're very vanilla. Like, even in the preseason, you don't see much of the offense because no one wants to tip their hand. And I imagine that Shane Waldron would ideally like to install the offense while having Dwayne Brown and Tyler Lockett and Chris Carson, none of whom have been showing up to OTA. So, like, that's a setback of sorts. But it is nice to have Russ. What I thought was interesting the other day was DK called the offense intricate. And I think – Pete Carroll used a similar word, and Russ called it super complex. It's like all the buzzwords that they're using to be really vague, but act like they're telling us something. But asked to elaborate, DK said that there's a lot of route combinations and stuff that we haven't seen from any of the other teams he's coached on. And that I do believe, not that I'd be naturally skeptical of DK anyway, but I believe that because Shane's never really called plays. Mm-hmm. He's never been an OC, so the element of surprise is very much still intact. Versus like Arthur Smith leaving the Titans to go to the Falcons, you can watch Titans tape and get a feel for what the Falcons offense is going to look like. You can watch Rams tape all day. Shane wasn't the one calling the plays. He was the passing game coordinator, but the run game and the passing game were like so married in Los Angeles, it's hard to like really ID what Shane was doing. So even though I don't have a good feel for what the offense will look like, other than anticipating Russ being under center a little more, I do think that for the first few weeks of the season, they will legitimately catch teams off guard. And I think that's like a rare thing in the NFL where like everyone's stuff is already on film.
So speaking of getting caught off guard, question for you that I hope won't catch you off guard, but I would love to know who stood out to you in OTAs. This is your first time in person since, gosh, they lost to the Rams in, what was that, January. Who stood out to you of the returners, of the newbies? Who have you been impressed by that maybe you were caught off guard by their progress in the offseason?
It was just, I don't know if I was caught off guard by him necessarily, but it was nice to see Marquise Blair out there again, towards ACL week two. Mm-hmm. And I've been kind of monitoring his like rehab process because like every guy is different how they bounce back from these things. Some guys like Tyler Lockett broke his leg and needed like a full year to get back to being Tyler. Meanwhile, Chris Carson broke his leg and was fine in like 3 months. It's like everybody's different. So seeing Marquise out there running around, no limitations. You know, he's going to be the starting nickel, I think. So, like, seeing him just not look like he had any issues was really just nice. I was, like, just happy for him. The same thing with offensive guard Phil Haynes, fourth-round pick, who has, like, legit played one game, and he's been on the team 2 years. Like, so seeing him just out there running around, no problems. I forget what his injury was, but that was really nice. And it's always nice to see Puna Ford as well. Like, Puna's, like, 300-plus, but, like, probably has some of the best feet on the team. Like, that's really impressive for a dude that big.
What are we seeing with Jamal Adams moving forward? I mean, is this there's holdups with the contract extension. Is he going to be showing up anytime soon to Seattle's workouts?
I wouldn't if I was him, to be honest. Like, I just as long as he's, like, training, you know, and not, like, I don't think he should be out there running sprints and stuff every day and like hurting himself, potentially hurting himself or whatever. But as long as he's in some like decent shape, you know, I think like he can work out in Texas or, you know, wherever he's at. I don't think that he'll hold out. If he does, that's like getting really bad advice from his representatives. Holdouts don't work in Seattle. They just don't. You know, like I think Michael Bennett tried a version of it. Marshawn tried like a version of it and didn't really get a new deal. Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas tried it and got zero new money. Like it just, you know, even Bobby Wagner like kind of had to do like a fake holdout where he showed up to work, but like only wore hoodies and didn't wear his jersey. And he's his own agent, so it's a little different. So he did get a deal, but for the most part, if you don't show up to work, they won't pay you. So I would imagine that Jamal's agent, forget his name, but he's a big-time guy. Jamal's a first-round pick. So I would imagine his agent advises him wisely, like, hey, we can skip mini camp. That's just a few thousand. That's all right. But, like, training camp, be there, show up, don't hurt yourself. Let me handle the money side of it because it really is not going to help him to hold out. I would imagine that he comes to the negotiating table saying, hey, pay me like a pass rusher because that's what I am, and they say no. And then he has to settle for like really elite defensive back money somewhere in like the $17 to $18 million a year range, which, I mean, not minimum wage. That's still really good money. It's just not Joey Bosa top of the edge rusher market money.
Which makes sense given sort of the injuries too that he has dealt with. But the other name that I wanted to ask you about, we haven't heard much, and I know I would love to know if you know where he is or what his status is KJ Wright.
Yeah, I think they've reached the point where, and Cliff Averill always made this point to me whenever I talked to him. He said they drafted a defensive lineman every year I was on the team. Like, he just knew his time was coming eventually. Now, he got hurt and had to medically retire, but it's the same effect. Like, KJ, they've drafted, like, three inside linebackers in a two-year span, BBK, Cody Barton, and then Jordan Brooks, including Shaquem Griffin. That was his initial role. And then now that they moved KJ to Sam, which is basically like an outside, like rush linebacker, they just drafted Daryl Taylor at that spot too. So I really think it's just become a point where Seattle has decided, hey, KJ, thank you for 10 years. You were really great. But we have – in 2020 alone, they drafted two dudes who they expect to do what KJ does. Jordan Brooks to be the weak side linebacker and Daryl Taylor to be the new Sam. That's just it. Like, I don't think it's anything more complicated than that. Sometimes, you know, a breakup is just that simple. Hey, man, thank you for everything. We drafted these young guys. We'd like to play these young guys. You know, we'll keep in touch. I don't think there's any bad blood or anything. So I don't know if KJ will play again this year. I don't know if he'll retire or whatever. I know he's still here in Seattle working out. You know, he just bought a crib here with, like, heated toilets. So, like, he's not going any, or heated floors, one of the two. He's on House Hunters. Go find the House Hunter episode with KJ. You'll see what I'm talking about. So he's still here. I just don't think he'll be a Seahawk anymore.
I mean, if you're buying heated toilets, you're in it for the long haul, man.
It's either heated toilets or heated floors.
I mean, either way.
Both.
Yeah, either way, that's commitment.
Yeah, you're not leaving.
No.
You're not leaving.
No.
All right, Michael Sean Dugar from The Athletic. Appreciate your time, man. Always love the insight and the work. Keep up the great work at The Athletic.
Thank you guys for having me anytime.
All right, Michael Sean Dugar. I mean, that's one of the great comforts of the world is, have you ever had a heated toilet seat?
I've only seen them in restaurants. Like
where do you eat?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Man. Like once or twice in my whole life. I know.
Wow.
I know.
They're amazing.
That's what I know. The once or twice. Heated floors though also sound really nice.
Yeah. Game changer there.
Yeah. So either way, one or both, you're not leaving that house for a while.
Hey, is All Forgiven with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Next on The Fan. All right, we had Michael Sean Dugar from The Athletic, Seahawks reporter on. Boy, he nailed it with Russell Wilson because this is something that we had lauded for this time. Is All Forgiven with Russ and the Seahawks. And because Mike Sean was so good, we're going to have to catch up, or we're going to have to play catch up because we went over, and we'll have to play the audio coming up next. But that was a hell of a thing that Russell Wilson did yesterday.
I watched that whole press conference after our show yesterday.
Yeah.
And he really, like, Garrett Cole needs to be calling the person who prepped Russell Wilson.
You're damn right.
Because Russell Wilson put on a masterclass of directly answering questions without actually giving information.
He spun zone.
It was impressive.
The you know what out of that.
It was impressive.
It really was. Like, Vulcan should be having, like, he should be on the phone with Neil O'Shea in a conference call, Loop and Russ Wilson. Be like, look, Neil, this is how you do it. This is how you completely deflect everything that you have done and said in the offseason and roll it into a turd sandwich that people will, like, how do you, because follow-up, like, what Neil did was he left an avenue for follow-ups on Monday. Mm. Russell Wilson left no, and this is what Michael Sean Dugar was saying, is that he left no avenue for a follow-up. Because you would literally have to cut him off at one point because he would say something and then he'd take it down a rabbit hole to a different, completely different topic.
Yes. And he does a masterful job at that. And Russell Wilson, one of his favorite, which he does this regardless. And I think it's just who Russ is. But if you ask him a question, he will find a way to name about 5 to 10 of his teammates in the answer. Like, hey, Russ.
I have one we can play right now, because this is him on, hey, man, by the way, you totally threw your offensive line under the bus this offseason on the Dan Patrick show earlier this year. And like, how's your relationship with your O-line? This is Russell Wilson.
You know, I mentioned that, you know, the reality is that I can do better too. You know, I think that's, we're all trying to find ways to win. We're all trying to find ways to be better, you know. And I think that, you know, listen, Dwayne Brown's one of my closest friends, man. That guy's everything to me. You know, I think about D. Lou and what a player he, you know, he was last year. He's going into his second year. You know, I think about a guy like Posick, who's been tremendous up front and how smart he's been. I'm excited about Gabe Jackson. He's been amazing in the Zoom calls. He's been amazing in his approach, how tough he is. I've watched a lot of film of him, you know, and just how good he's been. You know, and then obviously Shell over there at right tackle, you know, and you know, got a lot of other guys that can play too as well.
Okay, so he named all 5 of his offensive linemen now, but he said, I need to do better too. Like, he totally just ignored the fact that he was like, yeah, I get hit a lot. Like, I'm sick of getting hit. And that's right. How this whole thing started, was criticizing your offensive line, where you don't even have to be an offensive lineman that's there right now. Anybody that's ever blocked for him is part of that 394, which is how many times he's been sacked. And you know what? They're all sitting there going, dude. Like, when we talked with Max Unger, he goes, it hurt my soul to hear that, right?
Totally.
Or to see the comments. He didn't hear the comments directly, but he's like, to see that, it hurt my soul when we talked to him.
But that's the masterclass, right? Because the first thing he does is he says, I said I could be better too.
Because he said he holds onto the ball a little bit too long. But you know what he also said in that interview? Because I went back and I listened to it.
What did he say?
He also said, yeah, you know, I hold on to the ball a little bit too long. But you know, it also leads to touchdowns and me getting out of in pretty cool plays.
Yep. Which I have asked him that question before and gotten the same, like, but in that question, that answer in particular, it was just an iota of accountability, right? It was an iota.
At least he took some.
He took some.
Now he can come back and say,
exactly.
Hey,
I took accountability and look at how great all of my linemen are. Perfect answer. Masterclass in controlling the narrative.
But wait, there's more.
Perfect.
Russell Wilson, was this season, offseason, overblown for the Seattle Seahawks? Oh, by the way, we're only like halfway into the offseason.
It's fine.
All right, because games don't start till the end of August. But is all forgiven with Russ and the Seahawks? 503-250-1080 next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.